1918 Germany had political instability. She had a discredited monarchy, and America was calling for democracy. The traditional power hierarchy had been with the military, but the army faced humiliation and there was socialist agitation. German sailors mutinied and Bavaria attempted to secede. In Berlin there were general strikes and Wilhelm fled to the land of dikes. In 1919, the SPD controlled the National Assembly. Friedrich Ebert accepted an offer of support from General Groener. By linking up with the militarists, Ebert alienated the communists, whose revolt in January was put down by the volunteer military. Rosa Luxemburg and Karl Liebknecht were murdered for stirring up the left. The government had to be established in Weimar instead of in Berlin. Kurt Eisner, the Bavarian, was murdered February 21. 2 months later, his assembly was taken back into Germany. The Treaty of Versailles was signed 1919, June 29. In 1920, during March, the Freikorps launched a rightist putsch. Wolfgang Kapp was their candidate to be Chancellor and Potentate. The army refused to fight the revolting forces of the right. The local government was chased away, but the socialists refused to play. Across Berlin, passive resistance by workers and by civil servants reduced the Freikorps' political blow to a four-day fiasco. This didn't end their machinations. They went on staging assassinations. Matthias Erzberger was done in August 1921. Rathenau was murdered too in June of 1922. Meantime, an obscure agitator by the name of Anton Drexler allowed his German Workers' Party to change its name and become Nazi, at the suggestion of one of its number, a veteran named Adolf Hitler. In 1922, Germany defaulted on her reparations. So in January 1923, the Ruhr was taken by French and Belgians. Germans resisted passively and inflation increased massively. Stresemann became premier and the Federation clashed with Bavaria. Hitler marched on the Munich Inns and was put in prison for his sins. He served behind his prison door from April to December 1924. He used this time to write at length a book about himself, Mein Kampf. The Ruhr occupation didn't survive. The Francophones left 1925. Meanwhile, back to 1923 and the chaotic economy, the government printed lots of money to pay its war liability. As a result, prices rose and money was carried in wheelbarrows. Fortunes were wiped out almost overnight, but businessmen with mortgages were doing all right. In November, Hans Luther's Rentenmark replaced the old. It substituted land and productivity for gold. With prices stabilizing, Stresemann gave his attentions to improving the state of Germany's foreign relations. In 1924, the reparations were resorted, according to the Dawes Plan, which Stresemann supported. To the French and to the British, he displayed unusual tact, and in 1925 agreed to the Locarno Pact. The following year, Germany entered the League of Nations, and Stresemann won the Nobel Prize for Peaceful Operations. From 1925 until 1929, Weimar Germany enjoyed comparative incline. Field Marshal Paul von Hindenburg became the president and acted as a safety valve for rightist discontent, with Stresemann exerting influence behind the scenes. Germany's economy was mending at the seams. Groener got defense in December 27, and extremist parties polled few votes in the 28 election. The Young Plan was announced in June of 1929 and approved by referendum on December 29. But Wall Street crashed October 29 of 29, and the economy of Weimar entered terminal decline. America called in her loans and business was destroyed. By 1932, 6 million men were unemployed. Extremist parties gained at the expense of the SPD. In 1932, the biggest party was Nazi. Chancellor von Papen feared leftist anarchy. He took Adolf Hitler and the Nazis seriously. Adolf Hitler became Chancellor 30 January 33, and that was it for German liberal democracy.